And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have been preaching a sermon series in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been looking at a chapter a week, so the chapter that comes up is just the chapter that comes up for that week. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 has much to say, but I want us to know before we get into the sermon proper, I want to be really clear about something that should be clear by now. When you start 1 Corinthians, St. Paul talks a lot about the grace of God, his forgiveness, his mercy, that he says that you're the saints of God. He's talking to the church. Remember, he says you've been called as saints, and there's all these wonderful things. And you think, wow, this is a nice tone for this book. And the next thing that happens in 1 Corinthians, he starts to talk about some of the challenges that church faces, right? So people get to sort of hear, not that we are exactly that church, but there's always something maybe for us to hear about what Paul said to that church. And one of the things that he says is, guys, we have some tough stuff to talk about, right? So I want to talk about two errors that people make about the faith. They're not terrible, but they need to be addressed. And you will have detected them by now. The first error is this. Some people think, if I become a Christian, my life will now become easy. You know that feeling? You're like, well, I'm a God follower. Everything's going to go my way. Is that true? No, it's not. In fact, if anything, the devil has a target on you now as a follower of Jesus. But here's the other thing that happens, and I think it has to be looked at in 1 Corinthians 6. A lot of people think, if I join a church, I will have found myself a perfect place. Is that so? Is there any perfect church on this earth? If you are looking for a perfect church, you need to visit somewhere else next Sunday. But if you're willing to sit with the redeemed, join us, of course. But this is what's going on. First Corinthians is addressing a real church. A real church with real people. And this chapter has three sections, and the middle one is the most important. So I'm going to do that last. So we're going to do the first section, the third section, and the second section. Is that all right? We're going to be a little out of order this morning. But here they are, and a little disconnected, but I want us to look at them. The first section is about Christians and lawsuits. The third section is about Christians and how you use your body. And the second section I'm going to get to later. Hold off on the second section. I want us to look real quickly. Christians and lawsuits. What an odd section in the Bible, right? This literally says this. When one of you has a grievance against one another, does he dare to go to law before the unrighteous? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying there was conflicts in this church, and they couldn't get together on stuff. They couldn't agree on stuff. And when this congregation disagreed with each other, you know what they did about it? They sued each other. Can you imagine that? I don't like what the church council did. I'm going to sue my church. What a strange thought. Now, here's something we should know. Greek society was extremely litigious. In the Greek world, everybody sued anybody about anything. Does that sound familiar? What's funny, with the proliferation of lawsuits, do you know who always wins? The lawyers, right? They win no matter the result. In the Greek world, they thought of lawsuits as almost entertainment. They would sometimes sit a jury of 100 people. There's one case where they had a jury of 6,000 people. It was like watching a sporting event. And then you would vote on who's right or wrong. And Paul would say, we're the believers of the redeemed of Christ, the believers in Jesus the Savior. How dare we take our disputes, and we're going to have them, how dare we take them from our context and set them before the world? You see what he's saying? Do churches ever have lawsuits amongst themselves? Sometimes it happens. I want to mention a real case. This is a true story that I know about. I want to mention it and look at it just for a minute, just for us to get the idea that this can happen. True story. A pastor and his family, they lived in a parsonage, a church-owned house, and they decided we want to buy a house. And they said, we can afford a monthly payment, but we can't afford the down payment. You follow? So the pastor said to the church, can we borrow from the church a down payment? Is that a good idea? It's actually not, right? So, but they did. The congregation said, we're going to be nice to our pastor. We're going to loan him $50,000 for the down payment. And the pastor said, I'm not going to pay you any payments on it, but when I sell the house, when I either retire or go somewhere else, I'll sell the house and you get the first 50. Make sense? Now, here's what happened. And in fact, the pastor left that church And they said, well, when you sell your house, remember you took the loan from us. And the pastor said, I'm never going to repay that $50,000 because you've been underpaying me these many years. And the congregation said, well, we could have been talking about all these years, but you owe us $50,000. And he said to them, if you want your money back, you're going to have to sue me. Now, here's what you're waiting to know. How did it turn out? Are you ready to know the answer? I moved out of the area before it was resolved. I don't know. Isn't that terrible? I don't know. It's a mystery. What happened? I do know what happened about this, though. And I want us to hear St. Paul. He said, how dare we take our business out there? And he says this. I want us to get it. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat. Isn't it funny? The Bible is that practical. To have lawsuits amongst ourselves is a defeat. It doesn't matter who won that case, does it? Because what is the reputation of the church in the town? Did you hear that that church had to sue their pastor? What's wrong with that? That hurts the cause of the gospel, right? People are less likely to hear the gospel in that congregation when they know what goes on. Paul says it's so negative to do that. He says, literally, this is the text, why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? The pastor should have said, maybe they underpaid me. By the way, that's no hidden message. You don't underpay me, and that's not it. Some people last night asked me, did we underpay you? And no, that's not the point. The pastor should have suffered that wrong, but the pastor refusing to pay, the church should have suffered that wrong, but anything but go to court, right? We do have boards and committees and councils. The text says, don't you have wise people among you to solve these things? The answer is we do have wise people among us to solve it. We have a circuit. We have a district. There are district reconcilers, right? The church is given many ways, anything but lawsuits. Now, I want us to get that's that section. I want to go to the next section because the next section is Paul talks a little bit about this particular thing. How shall I deal with my body? If you look at verse 12, it's in your bulletin, or if you have a Bible, I love that the editors of the Bible have put quotation marks around the first phrase. You see it, right? All things are lawful for me. The reason that has quotation marks is that's a phrase that people were saying. Now, you know, Paul is quoting something from the culture. Everything is permissible for me. What am I allowed to do? Anything I want. You hear it, right? That's what people say. Some people say, all things are lawful for me. The next words are Paul, and he says this, not all things are helpful, right? And a lot of other people would say, all things are lawful for me, but Paul says, I won't be dominated by anything. What's he talking about? Paul is talking about this extremely hard balance that the Christian faith is. We are against legalism. We have to be very clear about that. The church is against all forms of legalism. Legalism says if you keep these rules, you'll be saved, right? That's what legalism is. Legalism says by your own efforts, you live the right way, you'll be saved. And that is wrong. And I don't know if everybody grew up this way, but many of us long ago, do you remember what the rules were? They aren't necessarily God's rules, but the church often said, you guys know these rules? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't listen to rock and roll. Anybody else raised with those rules? And I don't know, in some places, some rules, they had the rule, and the women should not wear makeup. Remember those rules? That is false. That is not biblical. That is man's rules. So what happens is we're against legalism. We're rightly against legalism. But some people say, well, if we're against legalism, that means there's no rules. I can live how I want. Is that true? That's not true either. You see, a very difficult balance, is it not? So it is the case that you're not saved by works, but it's also the case that you're not saved by sinning any way you choose. So how do we deal with this? This is what Paul says. I will not be dominated or I will not be mastered by things. I can partake in many things, but I will not be mastered by it. Let me ask you this. Is it required that a Christian abstain from alcohol? No, it's not. But is it possible that alcohol can be abused and run your life? That's not good, right? That's not good. So Paul says, yes, you can partake, but do not be governed by it. Now, here's the challenge. I can't give you what's the rule, right? How do you have to live? You have to live your life navigating that. There's not, hey, Pastor Walt has these 10 rules. If you do these, you'll be good. That's not how it works. You got to figure it out. Here's a funny rule we notice about life. Almost everything in the world has some beneficial use. Isn't that right? Even things that seem destructive, there's often discovered. There's some positive use that can be made out of this. There are heavy medications that if you're using it as a pharmaceutical, it's for your good. If it's not your prescription, what is it? Harmful. You see? It's everything in the right place and the right quantity. That's a tougher rule. And so St. Paul says this. This is the rule. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? He's very specific. Shall I then take my members, the members of Christ, and make them members of a prostitute? He's saying that's why no sexual immorality. You belong to Christ. How can we do that with our body? And then he says this. I need to be really clear that he says these things. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. How shall we live, right? Not by a list of rules, also not by ditching all the rules, but what? How do I manage my body in a God-pleasing way? What does that mean? That's complicated. You've got to figure it out as a believer. Does that make sense? Now, in the middle section, I want us to look at these verses in detail. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Paul, as you guys know, is always very blunt in what he says. Paul says, here's a list of sins. If people walk in those, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he just comes right out and says them, right? Paul never tries to protect our ears. He says, here's some sins, and it would offend the modern sensibility. He says, do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. He's not talking about the fact that all Christians sin as a matter of stumbling. He's talking about people who walk in this. Their routine is this, right? As a believer, we stumble into sin, obviously. But he's saying, do not walk in these things. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the next verse begins with some words that I want everybody here to memorize. I want you to memorize these five words. Are you ready? Such were some of you. I want us to get that. That is the heart of the gospel. Such were some of you. He just gave us a list of sins, and he wants to guard against something. We could easily say, look at this list of terrible sins. People outside the church do that stuff. St. Paul is saying, that's what we were. Does that make sense? Such, he says, those things, the list I just gave, we've done those things. But very, very important word, the tense of the verb, such what? Were some of you. You hear it? Were. Now, I want us to get this. In any congregation, all kinds of things have happened in our past. But you know where they are? They're in the past. Paul says such were some of you. Know why he says were? Because he's saying that's not what you are now. Do you hear it? That's the point. You could have done anything. You could have been anywhere. If you've left it, such were. Such were, such used to be. That's the gospel. And so he says what I said with the kids. You were washed. You were sanctified. That means to be made holy. It's a process. You were being made holy. You were washed in your baptism. You were being sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's wonderful, right? Wherever we've been, here's a question for you to ask. What is it that my enemy, Satan, loves to throw at me? You ever get that? You get that in your spirit, that Satan loves to throw at you. Remember when? And you know how I want you to answer him? That's what I used to be. Does that make sense? What I used to be. Memorize the words, really. Such what? Were some of you. He says you. He's talking to the church. Such were some of us. And we have been washed and claimed and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, that's what we used to be. That is not what I am. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.